podcast.
This week on the podcast, we're marking Refugee Week. This week is held around World Refugee Day, which falls on the 20th of June each year. It is a UK-wide festival celebrating the contributions, creativity and resilience of refugees and people seeking sanctuary, and also aims to encourage understanding why people are displaced and the challenges they face when seeking safety. This year we are focusing on Ukraine, for obvious reasons, and along with the rest of Scotland, Argyll and Bute has risen to the challenge in responding to this crisis. At the time of recording, there have been almost 11,000 visas issued with the Scottish sponsor via the Ukraine sponsorship scheme. A total of 3,747 Ukrainians with a sponsor location in Scotland have arrived in the UK. And here to talk to me are a whole range of people who are involved in our response, from our own team who support the resettlement of refugees within Argyll and Bute, representatives from education, our registered social landlords, our housing associations that support the work that we do, and also a very new and special member of the team, our new community interpreter, who is herself a Ukrainian refugee. Here they are talking about their input to our response. So we've got with us today a whole range of people, because our response to refugee relocation is a big team effort. So I'm going to get each of them to talk a little bit about their input in turn. So rather than kind of introduce them all as one here, I'll let them introduce us as we come and talk about their input. So Morag, maybe say who you are and what you do around the refugee relocation scheme and how that's operating at the moment.
Okay, thanks Pippa. I'm Morag Brown. I am the council's lead officer for refugee resettlement and asylum issues. As part of my remit, I have that responsibility. And you know, the podcast today is about the Ukrainian resettlement scheme and how that's working. And that's very different to how we've done other resettlement programs that we've participated in the past, and is based on a sponsorship model where the great people of Argyll and Bute have offered up accommodation in their homes to welcome Ukrainians fleeing the war, come and resettle here, be safe and rebuild their lives.
Yeah, it is a very different scheme, and we're dealing with numbers that we haven't dealt with before. So if people are interested, you and I spoke about the Syrian refugee resettlement scheme that we've worked on before. But this is very much a mixture of both looking at providing properties, but also matching people with hosts who are happy to relocate people. So and a whole load of issues that go around trying to make that all happen quickly. So yes, thanks Morag. Big piece of work that I don't think is necessarily, it's not easy to sum up in a quick quick little explanation, is it? So Hannah, maybe if I can bring you in, because you're also part of the council team here. So do you want to introduce yourself and say what your role is?
Yeah, thanks Pippa. So I'm Hannah. I am a resettlement coordinator, and for the last few weeks, I've been working on Ukrainian resettlement. And what was your question, Pippa?
So
what I've been doing?
What specifically have you been focusing on as part of that work around the Ukrainian resettlement, Hannah?
Right. So, yeah, from the beginning of the crisis and from the time that the government announced the sponsorship scheme, Homes for Ukraine, we've had people getting in touch with us, asking about how they can help. It could have been offers of support wanting to volunteer, give donations, but many people wanting to sponsor. So I've been helping Morag from the beginning to get in touch with potential sponsors, and then sponsors who had actually matched with individuals coming from Ukraine, or those who have signed up for the Scottish Government scheme waiting to be matched. And a lot of my role is clarifying how the schemes work and what the kind of expectations are to be involved, and what our role is in the council, the different checks that people have to go through to enter into sponsorship. So like having an enhanced disclosure done, or for example, the property checks and sharing information about what that's going to involve. So with the disclosures, that's fairly straightforward. It's just criminal record and such like safeguarding checks, property checks, you know, sharing information on what the checklist is for that, and just explaining how the process works, the time scales, the different ways that that's working.
Lovely, thanks. Thanks, Hannah. Morag, maybe come back to you briefly, just describe the, I mean, because I know it's, there's lots of people who want to help and there's different schemes and perhaps don't understand why there's so many hoops to jump through. Do you want to just sort of summarise the two schemes and how they work, and why the checks are important for us to have in place?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll try and keep it as simple as possible because it is confusing. There are two schemes because two different governments set up a scheme. So the UK government set up the scheme that we call Homes for Ukraine. That's the scheme where sponsors go online, register their offer of accommodation in their homes, and they find their own match, usually through online space. And quite a few charities have stepped in to help with that matching process. That's the scheme that was in place the quickest, and the arrivals, the majority of the arrivals that we have here and we're providing support for are Homes for Ukraine matches. Data sharing is slower for us with that scheme. It's something we're less familiar with, so we're very reliant there with the relationship that we have with sponsors to keep in touch with us and let us know what's happening. The other scheme is the Scottish Government scheme. They wanted to introduce a level of control around the matching. So same initial approach, whereby the sponsor offers up the space and accommodation in their home. However, this time round, they say they don't want to find their own match and would like the Scottish Government to arrange that match for them. There are over 11,000 visas that have now been given out to Ukrainian nationals to come to Scotland under this scheme. And the challenge with this scheme is that the background checks have got to be done before the matching process can happen, which has meant that we have got all of our resource directed where we can to getting those background checks done as quickly as possible, because you know, we know that the Ukrainian nationals are here in Scotland in temporary accommodation, usually hotels, and we want to find them, you know, that great sponsorship match and allow the sponsor to provide the support that they really want to do as well. So
yeah, and all to make sure that Ukrainian nationals are safe, that they're coming into a safe environment, a home that can cope with that, that there aren't any well-being issues or safety issues in terms of a property. So really important that you know, we make sure that's safe. If you're coming not knowing the person you're coming to stay with, that there's some safeguarding there. So lovely, thank you for that. Hopefully that gives a little bit of a sense of how they operate for people. So I'm going to come to Michaela next, and Michaela, you're teaching Tynabrough school, and you've got some Ukrainian youngsters, I think. So tell us what that's been like.
So we now have five. Ukrainian pupils, and the first kind of reaction was obviously a bit worried initially. It seemed to happen quite quickly once the names came in, and because we're a tight-knit community, we heard from the sponsors as well. So we'd kind of heard rumors that there's maybe some Ukrainian children joining the school, but because the process hadn't finished, we didn't hear officially. And then when it did, it all seemed to happen quite quickly. But it's been really amazing, actually. And I think something that really helped us as a school community is we're on our journey to becoming a rights respecting school. So we're currently working to be silver. So we had actually talked about the Ukrainian crisis and talked about refugees as part of that before we even knew that we were going to actually get Ukrainian pupils. So I think that really helped prepare staff and children and the wider community for that. So we were delighted to welcome them. And I think as a community, Tynabrook, it's not surprising actually that there are sponsors here and that they're settling in so quickly.
And how are they enjoying school in Scotland now?
They don't like midges, but we've got plenty of midgy nets, so that's good. But no, they're really settling in. And one of the first things I did with them was likes and dislikes, using lots of visuals. So, you know, you picked up quite quickly that some of them really liked art, some of them liked PE. So straight away, we were able to draw on what they liked and help them to become as comfortable and feel as safe as possible. And it was great because I had worked with Patricia Till on Butte before, who had obviously worked with the Syrian resettlement program. And I had actually been in touch with her previously about an EAL pupil, so English as an additional language. So straight away, as soon as I heard that we were getting Ukrainian pupils, I spoke to her to ask for some advice and some tips. So that was really, really helpful. So again, it's that community and knowing that you've got colleagues out there, knowing that they'll support you and give you advice. It's been really, really helpful.
And I'm sure there's other colleagues will learn from your experience, because we've got a few schools, I think, that have got starting to get a number of Ukrainian pupils. And
it's little things, you know, little tips like labelling everything in the classroom. So you've got bilingual labels on things and using more visuals. So we'd already started to do a little bit of that for our other pupils. So, but it's little things that I think make a huge difference for the pupils settling in.
Oh, it's lovely to hear that they are settling in. That's fabulous news that there's a positive in what is a challenging situation. So thank you for that. And then we've got Iona and Michael. So you're each with one of our housing associations and you're helping out with properties. So if I come to Iona first, and then I'll ask Michael if you each want to share what your involvement has been and how that's working for you. Iona.
So I work for Fine Homes, which is a housing association that has 1,600 houses based in Buttevant, Middlegyle, Kintyre, and I'm the chief exec of Fine Homes, and we're committed to helping in the Ukrainian resettlement programme. And it's really clear from the work done to date, the generosity of the people of Argyll and Butte, who've really stepped forward to help. And similarly, the Fine Homes staff were keen to help with our council colleagues in rolling out this programme. So we're involved with property checks, and the staff in a housing association really have the right skills to hit the ground running and offer some real practical assistance to council colleagues.
Yeah, and thanks to you and your team, Iona. And I mean, there's such great examples, aren't there, with the Syrian refugees, of how that's blossomed, and we've had those residents are now integral to our communities, set up businesses that are flourishing. There's so much we can all gain from this as well in terms of our communities.
You're absolutely right, and it's the case that housing really is the base of the pyramid that creates firm foundations for people to really resettle successfully. And we know from the great work done with our Syrian refugees that forging links to the local community and the services is vital. And as you say, a great number of our Syrian refugees have moved on and prospered as a result of the great help and support they received from our communities. So I really have no doubt that our work with the Ukrainian refugees will be similarly successful, and the communities of Argyll and Bute will really work together to provide a place of safety and stand together with our Ukrainian refugees. In terms of practicalities, Fine Homes has identified 7 properties on Bute which we can make immediately available for resettlement, and we're working on that and folk coming to us imminently. And I think, as we've worked out before, a benefit of that can be that it'll allow the refugees to form a local hub, which can offer support and assistance to each other within that group.
Yeah, and thank you. I mean, that will be, it's great that there's 7 homes there that can be provided. Amazing. And as you say, so many of our communities rally around the response. I know even on my way to work, the number of Ukrainian flags that I see that are showing solidarity is, you know, it just shows the response that there's been. And Michael, what about for you? I'm sure a lot of similarities to what Iona's talked about.
Yeah, lots of similarities to Iona. I mean, I'll cover some of them briefly without duplicating what Iona said. So I'm the Director of Customer Experience at West Highland. We've got just under 1,000 properties, mainly around Oban, but across some of the islands as well. You know, so I suppose the couple of focuses for us and how we can help, the obviously carrying out the property checks is a big focus, and that's a massive task for our local authority colleagues, supported by all of our partners around the table today. For us, when we've discussed that here, that's really important, because it's not just about offering up as many properties as possible. They have to be suitable properties, and they have to be in the right condition, the right place. There's a lot of, you know, carrying out those checks is really important. And our colleagues have all been really keen to offer that help. And importantly, I think with, you know, frontline housing colleagues, they're very familiar with carrying out property inspections, visiting customers' homes. So it's something that they can pick up fairly easily. So they've all been really keen to do that. And I think we're slightly different in relation to looking at opportunities to offer up properties. So we are lucky to have very low levels of turnover. But what that does mean is that when something like this happens, that we're limited in terms of what we might be able to offer immediately. So for us, where we've had one property that we thought might be suitable, but after looking at sort of local knowledge from colleagues, you know, the support around there in terms of transport, local services, we felt like it wasn't the right place to try and set someone up to have a successful period there in terms of having that stability. So what we're really looking at is how we can use the homes coming off of our development programme to maybe identify where we can meet specific needs. So rather than offering up a suite of properties of any size and, you know, type, looking at where there might be specific needs for Ukrainian refugees coming in, where we could possibly meet that. So that's the offer that we've made. And, you know, we've got a number of programmes that are ongoing where handovers are coming up, where we'll look to weave that in and support. And I suppose in a different way, you know, than other RSL colleagues who might have had properties they can offer straight away. So a little bit different to some of what Iona's said, but I think on the whole, very keen to offer support where we can.
Oh, thanks, Michael. I mean, I think your point just highlights, you know, we want to keep emphasising how we have to work in partnership for this. And there, you know, what you've described is about, you know, different provision that can be made for different needs, and the extent to which across Scotland we're trying to you match that need. And, you know, we are a remote rural area to a large extent, and it's trying to find the right locations and the right properties for the right people as best we can, so that people are somewhere where they feel comfortable and safe and have access to the services they need. So I think that, you know, demonstrates, you know, how that's happening in Argyll and Bute, but it's also happening across Scotland, of trying to work with COSLA and all our other local authority colleagues to try and balance that up and get the best spread across Scotland.
And I'm going to bring Mark in. So Mark, you're with our environmental health team. You've very much been working to try and get the property checks moving, haven't you?
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Can you? Is that? Sorry, my internet's just been quite slow. Can you hear me? Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, fine.
Challenges of technology in when we're all virtual.
Yes, I know. Yes. So yeah, I'm an environmental health officer, just based in Oban, sort of covering the Oban, Lawn and the Isles area. And yes, I've been carrying out the property inspections over the past few weeks in the local area.
And maybe give people a sense of what are the things that are being checked for with the property checks.
We've kind of been basing our inspections really on an inspection form. It calls itself the quality assurance checklist, basically. So it's sort of split up into three categories that we essentially have just been working through. The first two parts over the phone with the sponsors, and then the third part is more the physical inspection and things that we kind of follow up on there out on site in the people's properties. And it kind of runs you through the fundamentals of a property, I suppose. Is it fundamentally, is it safe and suitable for use? Has it got your basics, sort of basic insulation, heating, you know, gas safety, electrical safety, all the things that you kind of think and assume are in place in any sort of modern day property, really. So that's kind of been the basis of the housing checks. Yeah.
And some added challenges in our area when we've got people on private water supplies and things like that, just to make sure that those things are safe and sound.
Yes, of course. Yeah, naturally, with the area, and as the list, I suppose, will expand, that will come into play quite a bit more, I suppose, about the private water supplies. But yes, it's a challenge that we're sort of used to, obviously, with commercial properties and things that we sort of regulate on a regular basis. But yes, with these properties as well, that's sort of throwing its head up, certainly.
Yeah, no. So thank you to you and your team, because it's a key part of them being able to match people. So I'm going to come on to Luda now. So Luda, especially grateful to you for joining us, because not only did you only start with us as a community interpreter yesterday, so you've jumped straight in the deep end, but you've had to flee from Ukraine yourself. So How have you found coming to Scotland? How long have you been here, and what have been your first impressions?
Thank you for having me here. First of all, my name is Luda Momotenko. My son and I came here 8 weeks ago from the south of Ukraine, and it was a long wait for us, like for everybody else. But when we came here, our first impression was wow. Is all the UK so beautiful as the noon? because it's a great nature, and the community is very kind, and everybody's so helpful and understanding. And I'm sure our host family, our sponsors, are the best in the world. So we are so lucky to be. Like a new family for us now, and they're very supportive, understanding, and helpful. And we're really grateful and happy to be here.
Oh, well, we're happy to have you. And I can I ask how are you both settling in? Because that must be quite a tough journey you've both had to make from Ukraine. And I'm not sure if you had to leave family behind.
Yes, my husband is staying at home, and all our parents and my brother. So it's only two of us that could leave the country. And it was very hard at the beginning, but we are settling in, and surely all the people around there are helping very much. We have friends here. Apart from a new family, we have friends, and my son goes to Dunoon Grammar School, and he's enjoying it greatly. The uniform, the friends and classes and teachers, everything. Yes, and I'm so happy I got the job of community interpreter. And yesterday, I could feel it's needed here. I'm very happy that Argyll and Bute opened this position, because it's, as I believe, the language barrier can be the biggest problem for the person to settle in a new country. I know that. And with my experience, because we had to live in Poland for a month before we got the visas to Scotland. And it was at least uncomfortable. That it was very, I can now realize how people feel here not knowing English, or thinking they know English enough, but it's really not enough, because there are a lot of misunderstandings happening between people also, as plus to all the cultural differences and everything that has to be communicated through and explained to each other in the with sponsors, I mean, in the host family and in the community. So, yes, I'm happy to be here.
I have to say your English is incredible, Luda. So it puts us, I don't know if any of colleagues on the call, but I have no second language, so I'm in awe of anybody that can do that. And I think your observations about how important that translation service is to make sure people understand and feel comfortable and can have their issues properly represented is going to be so important for us, especially as the numbers of Ukrainian nationals grow. So it's fantastic. And it's so great that we're able to employ somebody that's come and resettled even temporarily in the area. So that's
thank
great.
You very much.
And was your son able to participate in the, I was at Dunoon Grammar last week when we had a big celebration for they were shortlisted, if colleagues don't know, for World's Best School on Community Collaboration. So, and there was a fantastic celebration. So I hope he was able to participate.
Yes, he told me about that event. He said, yeah, he was excited to be there.
Yeah, it was lovely. No, I'm glad he was able to participate, and it's a fabulous school for him to join. And have you managed to meet some of the other Ukrainian nationals that have come to Argyll and Bute yet, Luda?
Yet, I know four people who are in Dunoon, not in Dunoon, but close to Dunoon. I'm still to learn all the geography and all the places, but we keep contact with them. Yes, and they also, I know that they are employed, and there is also a boy, 12 years old, who studies in Dunoon Grammar School too. So, and they are really happy with being here in Argyll and Bute too. And they also told me that they feel lucky to be matched with the host families.
It's lovely to hear that you all feel welcome and comfortable in Dunoon, and I hope we can continue to offer a good place for you all, and what we really hope is that you can go home soon.
Yeah, we too.
So Morag, I'm going to come to you to as we sort of wrap up. Lots of work still to do, and lots of people we hope still to relocate, there's a growing team with Hannah and Luda as part of that now, and all the partners that we've heard from to try and put all that support and make that happen.
Absolutely, Pippa. Yes, we're continuing to grow the resettlement team to provide that much needed support for Ukrainian nationals and their sponsors, and the multi-agency Ukrainian resettlement partnership continues to grow. We continue to reach out to add services, to add partner agencies to this. We really are only at the tip of the iceberg of what, you know, we will see and what we hope to achieve here in the way of resettlement. It is a different scheme to what we're used to, but we are absolutely drawing on all the experience, the knowledge, the skills from the past programmes, the Syrian programme and others. But most importantly, in Argyll and Bute, we've got the goodwill and the support. Everybody wants to help. They really, really do, whether that's in the communities, our partner agencies, our own staff. Everybody wants to help.
No, I mean, thank you to all of you for coming on. As you say, Morag, the people that aren't on the call are the all the hosts and communities that want to help. And obviously a big thank you to all the Ukrainian nationals who also work hard to be part of our communities for the time they're with us. So thank you to you all. And I say a very special thanks to Luda, because that's above and beyond doing that on your second day in the job. So wish you and your son the very best while you're with us in Dunoon. So thank you.
So we wish all the refugees that are resettling in Argyll and Bute a very warm welcome, and hope the experience of settling here will be as positive as it can be. Thank you to everybody who joined me today and the work they're doing to support refugees, to Morag, Hannah, Michaela, Michael, Iona, Mark, and most of all, big thank you to Luda for joining us just days into her new role as our community interpreter. And a massive thank you to all of you in the community who have opened up your homes and to help support the refugees that are resettling here. We couldn't do it without you.
Pippa's Podcast.